Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Skyblaze.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Skyblaze, and this is the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Thank you to everyone who was so patient during all the technical problems and the rescheduling that's happened in the past couple of weeks. Those of you who managed to tune in last week when I had to move to Sunday. Thank you also to Green Viper, who helped actually fix the problems that I was having. So hopefully everything's sorted now. But I can't help but notice that all of the technical issues started when I announced that I was covering Sonic 06. Is that game cursed? I have suspicions. Anyway, this episode is going to be dedicated to exploring the history of Sonic 06 and seeing if we can pinpoint exactly where things went wrong and why. So to start, you have to cast your minds back to all the way back to 2004. For those of you who are old enough to remember back that far, I'm looking at you, Green Viper. A big anniversary event was coming up for Sonic. It was his 15th year since Sonic 1 came to the Mega Drive. So Sega needed a pretty big game as an event to show what the Blue Hedgehog was still capable of, and give all the fans something to drool over. The idea was that when it came to 2006, and what we would get was a game that would pull out all the stops. What actually happened is they pulled out quite a lot of stuff that we kind of wished that they'd kept in, and other stuff was left in that we wished that they'd removed. Sonic the Hedgehog, or Sonic 06 as it's usually referred to, was a critical failure due to various factors, including loading times, camera, controls, stability, bugs, and various aspects of the actual story, and it's been a popular target of ridicule ever since its launch. So, what happened? Let's take a look to see how a game with so much promise became such a complete disaster, but first, to set the tone, let's have some music. So, from Crush 40, this is their version of His World, and then after that, our first Sonic 06 track for this evening, we've got Sonic 06 Aquatic Base Level 1. Enjoy!
Yeah.
We are back, and that was Sonic 06 Aquatic Base Level 1, and before that we had the Crush 40 version of His World. One of the great things about covering Sonic 06 is, despite the dubious quality, at best, of the game, the soundtrack is actually really, really good. So I get to play some really awesome tracks all the way through this episode. The Discord chat agrees with me, by the way. So I can't remember who it was, somebody said it's one of the best modern Sonic OSTs. The Veritex said they're one of the best modern Sonic OSTs. A lot of Sonic games do this. I mean, Shadow the Hedgehog and Sonic Heroes, again, I am not... I have a slight soft spot for Shadow the Hedgehog, but Sonic Heroes annoys me, but they both really have good soundtracks. So, let's move on and talk a bit about the development of Sonic 06. Frost is saying, never get a quiet mouse. It's a staple of the show, and Greyfall would probably kill a quiet mouse. Greyfall has already killed two mice. At least two mice. So, yeah, we got a kind of the most robust one we could get on the budget we had then, but at some point we're going to get a proper kind of hardcore gaming mouse, so he can, you know, one of the kind of robust ones that's supposed to be clicked to death, and we'll see if he can try not to murder that one. Oh dear, he's typing. Anyway, let's get on with what I'm supposed to be talking about. So, 2004, Sonic Team were trying to decide what game they were going to make for the sixth generation consoles, because that's when the launch of the Xbox 360 and the PS3 was roughly at the same time as the 15th anniversary. So, so it made more sense at that point to launch it onto 7th gen consoles. The game was actually originally planned to play into the success of recent superhero movies, with the idea that they would be a game equivalent to their blockbuster success. And the key to this would be the engine that they were planning on using, and that would be the Havok physics engine. This game had previously had mixed success with Astro Boy in 2004, but it allowed them to produce larger levels and experiment with other aspects, such as a day and night cycle and other environmental features. Now, this is one of the things that annoys me, because a day and night cycle, an active day and night cycle, sounds really interesting. But it's one of the lesser known functions of Havok. Havok is generally associated with the whole destructible environment thing, which makes I don't know how much sense it makes for a Sonic game. I mean, your mileage may vary on this one, but it doesn't really seem to make a huge amount of sense, at least to me, using the Havok engine for a Sonic game. Yes, it has advantages in that a lot of the physics are built in, so you don't have to worry about like things like the momentum problem that they had in Sonic 4. But what they ended up with was other physics problems. I'll go into that later. Oh, I stand corrected. Greyfall has actually killed three mice, because he's killed his work PC mouse as well and had to swap it out for a different one. Ravseek's saying it gives the show some character. I actually have installed the software for the RTX Nvidia cards that are actually supposed to eliminate background noise, but I haven't incorporated it into my Radio DJ setup, because I am frightened to death that if I try and change anything at this point, it'll break again. Frost is saying, the destructible stuff was definitely used well in later games like Generations. Yeah, when you had the drop dash that could actually destroy things, that was pretty cool. And Greyfall's saying Sonic 1 had some destructible parts in it. So did Sonic 3, particularly for the Knuckles routes. Knuckles could smash through walls and things to get to routes that weren't otherwise accessible. I can say words. Uh, Nicholas Marsling, I seem to recall the destruction of the environment was a big deal in Sonic before. Yes, but arguably it was Robotnik who was causing the destruction, not Sonic. Havoc was also used for Unleashed and Generations, says Jamie. Yes, but by that point they'd kind of worked out the kinks in it, and it wasn't really used in the same way that it was in 06. As I said, I'll get into that in a bit. But for now, some more music. So, from Sonic 06, we've got one of my favourite tracks from Sonic 06, and this is Wave Ocean, The Inlet. And after that, we've got our first request, which is from Electric Boogaloo, and we've got Sonic 06 Dusty Desert Quicksand. Enjoy!
I'm Resident SD, host of Layin' Live, and when it comes to boosting your Sega education, there's no better place than the Hidden Palace on Radio Sega.
And that was Sonic 06 Dusty Desert Quicksand, a track that was requested by Electric Boogaloo. And before that we had Wave Ocean The Inlet, which as I mentioned is one of my favourite tracks from that soundtrack. So yeah, I was saying in the chat that I have a mad tinfoil hat theory about who the actual protagonist of Sonic 06 is. I probably won't go into it here unless you really want to hear it. But let's move on. A tech demo for Sonic 06 was demonstrated at the Tokyo Game Show in 2005, where a glimpse of what was in store was shown. A new design for Sonic, which showed him being taller and slimmer, and Eggman slash Robotnik was given more human proportions and mostly referred to as Eggman pretty much exclusively. As the game developed more and more, we found that we were introduced to a new character who had psychic powers. Originally he was an orange mink, but after his time this would become another hedgehog who was referred to as Silver. Part of the reasoning for the whole psychic powers thing was so Sonic Team could make further use of the Havoc engine and its physics capabilities, which is why you get all of the various kind of puzzle platforming elements that you get with Silver, including the infamous billiard ball puzzle, which everyone hates, but you can actually bypass it. Now it's Grey4 asking, please tell us more, and you already know what my theory is, so you can shush. Jamie's saying Sonic was going to be taller and slimmer compared to what his modern design already is. Well, his Sonic 06 design is different to what it had been in, say, the Sonic Adventure games. There's a bit more of a... I'd hate to say realism, but the proportions were slightly different. If you put the design side by side, it's a bit more obvious. Oh, poor RSN voice has to go and be on call and fix a server. Yeah, being on call sucks. Tell us in the next music break who the protagonist is. I'd have to write it down and it's a pain. What else? I should have moved that music break, never mind. Yeah, let's have some more music and I'll talk a bit about the development phase. And how the project split in half. So let's have Silver's theme. This is Dreams of an Absolution, the Remix Factory version, I think. At least that's what it's labelled as. And after that, we've got End of the World, which was a track requested by Jamie. Enjoy!
Do you still feel your pain? For the valor you waited never came. You were And every night I will be with you. Cause every night I still lay awake and I dream of an absolution. Cause every night I will make it right. And every night I will come to you. And every night it just stays the same in my dream of an absolution. Oh,
And that was End of the World from Sonic 06. That was requested by Jamie. And before that, we had from Lee Brotherton, aka Bentley Jones, Dreams of an Absolution Remix Factory version. Yeah, I really like Dreams of an Absolution. And Bentley Jones is a really sweet guy. I met him at an anime convention in Derby. And he did a kind of little mini concert and a Q&A, and that was really lovely. Shame the speakers in the room we were in were awful, but we got there. Where was I? So let's talk about the big split. Sonic Team received the Wii development kits, and then they discovered that it would basically be completely impossible to have the game as it currently was ported to it, because the Wii is basically two GameCubes pushed together and slapped together and held together with duct tape. I am only marginally exaggerating, by the way. So a decision was made to split the team, so one could work on a game for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 that would use the Havok engine, while the other would work on making another game that would go onto the Wii. During early 2006, the unthinkable happened. Yuji Naka, widely credited as the creator of Sonic, resigned as the head of Sonic Team to go and create his own company. The reason why he said he wanted to do this is that he said he didn't want to create only Sonic games and wanted to look at creating new intellectual properties. Which is fair. Although many people at Sonic Team considered this to be a very bad sign, as he was considered the father of Sonic, and leaving that would take a lot of the heart and soul of the project with him. The woes didn't stop there, as the team that was allocated to make the Wii port was increased due to complexity of what was required, and it was decided that Sonic 06 on the Wii, even with a downgrade, simply wouldn't be possible. And at this point, the decision was made to create a game that would make better use of the Wii's motion controls, and at this stage, the game was called Sonic Wildfire, a project which eventually became better known to you and I as Sonic and the Secret Rings. I don't know what to think of Secret Rings. I mean, it's okay, but the way that it uses the motion controls is just hideously awkward. I quite like Sonic and the Black Knight, but I have a problem with Sonic and the Black Knight. You see, I have been using a console gamer since I was about 5. And my brain, since I was 5, knows that the left hand controls the movement of the character. Fine. Problem is, I've also been trained in fencing. I'm left-handed. The left hand is where the sword goes. So there is literally no arrangement, there is no way around that I can put the Wii Remote and the nunchuck that feels comfortable and natural to me. It's really irritating. So I had to settle for watching Grey 4 play through it instead. There are worse things, I suppose. Jamie's saying, from what I've read, they didn't find the game impossible to port onto the Wii. It was due to thinking how to put motion controls into the game due to the Wii Remote. I've heard both versions, or read both versions, that it was going to be really, really hard to get the kind of graphical fidelity that they wanted on the Wii because of the limited capabilities of the Wii. Even if they downgraded the graphics, they would have been struggling. So instead they kind of tried to make a simplified version of the game. It didn't work, so they changed tack and went with what became Sonic and the Secret Rings. Sonic Wildfire, I think, is actually a slightly better title, but oh well. R.I.P. lefties. It's a problem. But this is what I get for being left-handed, I suppose. In a world created for right-handed people. Let's have some more music then. So, I'm actually going to play a track from Sonic and the Secret Rings, just to break things up a bit. So I'm going to play The Palace That Was Found. And then we're going to have another one of my favourite Sonic 06 tracks, and that's White Acropolis, the bass. So, from the desert to the frozen wasteland. And Jamie's saying, not as if Sonic 06 graphics were anything special, it looks like a late 6th gen game. Yes, but compare it to literally anything on the Wii. I'm just saying. And yeah, Sonic 06 could have used a lot more polish. It could have looked better than it actually did. If you look at the original demo, it looks better than the finished game. Frost saying, today I learned that Skyblaze knows how to use a sword. I know how to use several different types of sword. I'm best with a rapier or a small sword. I know how to use a saber a bit. I'm not very good with one. Greyfall's better than I am with a saber. He knows how to use a cutlass as well. Anyway, let's have some music then. So, from Sonic and the Secret Rings, The Palace That Was Found, and then White Acropolis the Base from Sonic 06. I'll speak to you again after the music break.
Stop, never thrall, that's happening.
Who's gonna rock the place? My name's Gavi, and you're listening to The Hidden Palace with Skyblaze on Radio Sega.
Back. And that was Sonic 06 White Acropolis the Bass, another one of my favourite tracks from the 06 soundtrack, and before that we had from Sonic and the Secret Rings The Palace That Was Found. The chat is busy ranting about the problems with the whole left-handedness thing, because I happened to mention that the thing about being a Legend of Zelda fan who's left-handed and Link being canonically left-handed until Skyward Sword was released, because that was motion controlled, so they had to force Link to be right-handed. I'm a tiny bit bitter. Anyway, let's move on to what I'm actually supposed to be talking about. Right, the problem with the split of the development team was that the number of people who were left behind to tackle 06 was now much too small to actually handle the project in the way that they would have liked to. They persevered by doing the only thing they could, and this meant cutting content. And this meant throwing out the day and night cycle, removing Supersonic, and there were also cuts to the abilities that Sonic, Blaze and Silver were supposed to have, both in their playable versions as well as their boss counterparts when you meet them during each respective story mode. There was also stories that there was supposed to be a free roam mode, where you could like find things to collect. There were various gems that would activate abilities, like there was a rainbow gem that was supposed to activate Supersonic. That's partially in the game, and you can hack it back in, and you trigger a partial transformation of Sonic, but it doesn't actually work properly. basically enough was kind of left in the background of the game, in the back of the game, that you could figure out that quite a lot of this had been cut. Quite a lot of stuff had been cut. Needless to say, when 2006 finally came around, things were not actually looking that good. The game clearly was not ready for release, but with word that Sega had signed an agreement with Microsoft to have the game released in time for holiday 2006, the game was rushed to release from November, with the PS3 version getting one extra month of development. But the best that that got them was an increase in frame rate. One of the main problems that ended up being widely reported on was the loading times. Partially this was because they didn't actually cut down any of the areas. So any time a cutscene in a particular area was loaded, instead of just loading a tiny piece of the area like most games would do, they would load the entire thing. So, for example, the entire city of Soliana would be rendered just for, three lines of dialogue. And then it would have to reload again to take you back to the actual working hub world, which was insanity by anyone's definition. But because of the crunch in development time, they didn't have the time to actually fix most of these issues. The game ended up releasing to a majority of negative reviews and became one of the most infamous games to ever release. The crown only been taken when Duke Nukem Forever got its release from Video Game Purgatory in 2011. It was all quite tragic, actually. My personal opinion of Sonic 06 is that it could have been salvaged. But there were so many problems with it. I mean, there were problems with the physics engine, there were placeholder graphics that were in there that hadn't been replaced with more up-to-date textures. There were things like the fact that Sonic could stand on the side of the loops in clear defiance of physics and logic. It's a bit of a shame. And there were questionable things going on with the storyline. It did, however, have a great villain. Sorry, something just fell off one of the shelves and I'm not sure what that was. I'll investigate later. Mephiles is one of the most underrated villains in the Sonic universe. I think he's actually a really, really good, an interesting villain. And he has a great voice actor because he's voiced by Dan Green! I like Dan Green, he's great. He has an awesome evil laugh as well. When he actually does the, spoiler alert, the thing where he kills, in inverted commas, Sonic. He does a superb evil laugh, it's epic. Grey Four fell off the shelf. No, I think it's something of Grey Four's that fell off the shelf. But I don't know what it was. I'll figure it out later. Also, yeah, the fact that Mephiles is clearly the main villain and he has this kind of antagonistic relationship with Shadow backs up my idea that Sonic is not actually the protagonist of Sonic 06. Shadow is. I'll leave that one for you to chew on and let's have some music. So speaking of Mephiles, from Sonic 06 we've got Mephiles Faves 2. And then our very own Rexy, with one of her remixes, we've got Chaos Intervention for End of the World. So enjoy that, and I'll be back after the break for some Chiptune Corner.
Hi, I Need Fruit here from Club Sega, and you're listening to The Hidden Palace with Skyblaze. Please invite me back to the palace. Let me in.
Let me in! Thank you.
And we are back. And that was Chaos Intervention for End of the World from our very own Rexy. I love that remix. I've had it on my MP3 player for ages because it's great. And before that, we had the Sonic 06 Mephiles Phase 2. Mephiles is a really underrated villain, and he has a really nice character design when he goes all kind of crystalline and spiky. It's very cool. Reverend saying, I like to imagine that Sonic 06 was intended to have the overall tone of an anime or manga, to the point where it makes me a bit sad that we probably won't ever have that kind of proper treatment. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from there. It is a bit of a shame. Because they kind of, after the failure of Sonic 06, they turned very sharply away from the kind of heavy storylines and the kind of photorealistic look. Which I think is a shame, because though the storyline was too complicated, but it wasn't the main problem of Sonic 06, and neither was the visual style really. It was the fact that it was a buggy mess that really, really, really needed some more polishing and optimization. But such is life. So let's go on to Chipchun Corner then, because I am running quite late and I don't want to irritate Gavi any more than I absolutely have to. So this week's Chipchun Corner is actually dedicated to an artist that I have featured before. French musician Ultra Sid was first brought to my attention by a Twitter thread that was posted by one of my favourite chiptune artists, Bipshifter, who was posting about various essential chiptune artists and albums. Unfortunately, I heard fairly recently that Ultra Sid actually passed away on the 15th of October 2020, and so I feel it's only fitting that I feature some more of his work as a bit of a tribute. I'll also post a link to his SoundCloud so you can take a look at his songs and see if there's something on there that you might like. So this is Micromanagement Failure, which might amuse some of you considering what I've been talking about this today, from Ultra Sid. Let me know what you think, and I'll be back after this to close out the show.
We'll be right back.
And that was Ultra Sid with my Micromanagement Failure. Features a very familiar Go sample that Sonic fans will probably be quite familiar with. And also has a random meow in there, which maybe you heard. I strongly recommend checking out some of Ultra Sid's other work. All love to and respect to his family and friends. So, yeah, that's today's episode. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'm not sure what I'm going to do for a topic next week, although I am tempted to do something about hardware. What do you guys think? Do you have any suggestions for something that you want me to cover? If you have any ideas for a future topic for Hidden Palace, you can contact me on Twitter, where I'm at Blazing Skies. Or you can reach me through the Radio Sega Discord, Twitter, or Facebook pages. Saturday Night Sega is coming up next, even though I have overrun because I'm a terrible person. And tomorrow you can tune in for the LMC block and Rexy's Sega Mixer Drive. We've got one last track to go out on, and you do not get any prizes for guessing what game I've been playing recently. But thank you, everybody. Take care. Good night.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.